More details are emerging as to what a government shutdown is going to mean for feds, but it wasn't enough for one federal employees union. The American Federation of Government Employees has filed suit against the Obama administration. AFGE has said that the Office of Management and Budget did not respond to a March 2nd Freedom of Information Act request. We talked about that here on the Federal Drive here on Federal News Radio. They were requesting copies of the shutdown plans from federal agencies, or at least from OMB. They just didn't get them. Joining us now live with his analysis, Bill Bransford, a partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. He is this morning's Legal Loop segment. Bill, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Now, does this lawsuit have any validity? Doesn't the agency have at least a... Oh, it does.
Oh, sure. You know, FOIA, you're supposed to respond to FOIA requests within 20 business days. And when an agency doesn't respond within 20 business days, a FOIA requester has the right to go to court. Now, the government might say they have, deliberative privilege. There are all kinds of privileges, but that's... I think that's an open question of whether the government can exert such a privilege. And remember that President Obama said he wanted to have a very transparent presidency, one in which the use of the deliberative privilege to deny FOIA requests was kept at a minimum. So it's not only a very interesting legal issue, it's an interesting political issue, given the fact that what the White House has said before.
Yeah, I was going to say, political issue, definitely, with the public employee unions suing the federal government. Is that something we see very often?
Well, sure. I think we certainly saw it in the George Bush presidency with all the lawsuits on the DHS reorganization and NSPS. But you're raising the question, Tom, now, because supposedly the unions and President Obama are on the same page. But there may be a fundamental disagreement with him about the release of this information. And I will tell you, I was at a couple of weeks ago at the National Labor Relations Council, and the unions were very angry. The presidents of the national unions, large national unions, were very upset and made it very clear that they were upset that they have not been given the information on the shutdown. And quite frankly, I thought they had a pretty good argument. It was clear that the administration was going to keep it very, very closely held. I'm sure they have some reasons for that, not to cause panic or get people upset or cause a loss of productivity, and as people just worry about the fact that they're going to be perhaps furloughed and perhaps not paid for that furlough.
Or is it possible that they just don't know what is going to happen, and they have several different plans for several different scenarios? Or, I mean, there are all kinds of little scenarios here.
Yeah, I can speculate all day about that. I wonder sometimes if... if the shutdown, as Washington Post said yesterday, is 800,000 workers to be furlowed, but, is it actually going to be more? Is there going to be a harder shutdown? What if it goes on for a while? I mean, the disagreements seem pretty intense, and how are they going to find common ground? I don't know. No one knows.
And, Bill, while we have you, this is Bill Bransford from Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Since you do deal in employment issues of federal workers, this idea of who is accepted and who is not, is that an issue that is ever bargainable, or is it something that has caused disputes?
I don't think it would be bargainable under the management rights provision of the statute, but it could potentially be bargainable under what's called B-1. The B-1 bargaining, I don't know if you've talked about that on this show, but that's the permissible subjects of bargaining, methods and means of delivering work, the numbers, types, and grades of employees. I could develop a legal argument that under B-1 it was bargainable, so there's an issue with the president's executive order on labor relations of whether B-1 bargaining would be mandatory, even though the statute says it's permissible. But I think without mandatory B-1 bargaining, which now does not currently exist, it's not a bargainable subject. But, that's the decision on who's excludable and who's not excludable. But the impact and implementation, how you carry that out, how you affect people, the processes you use as people are put into furlough, those things are bargainable. And I think that's one of the reasons the unions wanted to know what the administration was thinking so that they could figure out what impact and implementation bargaining they could possibly do as we went into the shutdown status.
And taking it away from the union side, just talking about it as individual workers, is that something that someone could conceivably file a grievance over later, feeling they should have been accepted but weren't, or vice versa?
Well, theoretically, employees have a right to file an appeal and a furlough to the MSPB, but you know, as long as the agency, you know, as long as they had a reason to furlough them, like lack of authorization to spend money, I don't think the basic issue is grievable. Whether you're accepted or considered essential or non-essential. It's never been a problem before, because everyone's always gotten paid, those who worked and those who did not work. This year, it appears that Congress is in the mood to pay those employees who are working, the essential employees. But you know, there's a real question about whether those who are furloughed are going to be paid, which of course means that they'll all be able to file for unemployment compensation, and that'll cost the government more money there. And it costs the government money to shut down. It costs the government money to start up again. So, I mean, this shutdown is not going to save money.
Historically speaking, Bill, this particular lawsuit against OMB, where does this fall?
You're talking about the FOIA lawsuit?
Yeah. Because they're suing because they are awaiting this guidance. They wanted this guidance. The guidance
The guidance is now out. So I guess the lawsuit was maybe more of making a statement. You know, so it goes to court, and actually on FOIA litigation, there's an accelerated schedule. The government usually has 60 days to file an answer in most litigation, but in FOIA they only have 30, and then the courts also move FOIA cases up. So there's actually, the way the law is written, these cases are given a special priority. But if a case is moot because it's already been resolved, which often happens. Oftentimes a FOIA lawsuit is filed and then the agency just provides the information that for whatever reason it has delayed. Sometimes the FOIA is delayed because an agency is overwhelmed with FOIA requests and they just don't have the resources to process them. Sometimes they're delayed because an agency doesn't really want to release information that it knows it has to because they find it embarrassing or, you know, it causes more questions to be asked than they have answers for, that they want to provide answers for. So there's a lot of different reasons why FOIA requests are provided late.
Bill Bransford is a partner at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Bill, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you.